Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Lamed Beis, and we are two lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the two dots, Niktam Roshoy. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leia, and Moshe Abba Ben Devorah. So we're continuing to discuss the very first Mishnah of the third parak. The Mishnah began, Lulav HaGozel V'Hayavish Pasol. We're now going to discuss the remainder of the Mishnah. Now, the truth is, today's daf is going to be rather technical. In fact, the Mishnah is going to talk about different cases of a lulav that is posel. And in most of the cases that are going to be discussed, there's a big discussion amongst the Rishonim what exactly these things mean. So if you want to go through it a little bit more, be'ian, ayin b'Rishonim, u'b'Shulchan Aruch, many different understandings in terms of what the different types of lulavim that we are going to discuss. But the daf begins with the Mishnah that said, Niktam Roshay Pasol. So if the top of the lulav was cut off, the halach is, it's going to be pasol. Now this, like as mentioned, is one of the cases where there are many pshatim in the Rishonim in terms of what it even means. We're going to pick the Shitas HaRosh. The Rosh says that what it means is the very tip of the alim of the lulav were clipped off. Now, the tip of one of the alim, all of the alim, some of the alim. So the Rosh says it's talking about roiv of the alim. So if the majority of the alim's tip was cut off, that's nikdam roishay. The Mishnah says nikdam roishay is possible. Amar Rav Huna said loishay. This halacha in the Mishnah is only said elo nikdam if it was physically cut off. Aval nistak. But if the majority of the tips of the lulavim were split open, so not severed, not completely taken off, but they were detached from each other a little bit, kosher, then the halach is, it's going to be kosher. Freit Gemara, is that true? Is that kosher? If they were split, is it in fact kosher? Tanya, we learned in a braisa, so lulav kafuf. If someone has a lulav that's bent over, Rashi says it's bent over like a hunchback. Kavutz, or if the lulav had thorns that were coming out of the lulav, out of the spine of the lulav. Akum doimalamag sadok, if the lulav was sadok. Akum doimalamagol, if it was rounded like a sickle. Pasul balach is, all of these lulav are not going to be pasul. Charus, in the event that the lulav was very hard, pasul is going to be pasul as well. So Rashi explains what exactly is charus, and this is something that the Gemara is going to discuss again in a few moments. So Rashi explains that the metzias is that if you leave a lulav on the tree too long, at some point the lulav is going to become hard, meaning the shedra, the leaves are going to branch out, and they too are going to be hard, almost like the branch of a tree. So a lulav, its fabric is somewhat small, but at some point, if it sits on the tree for an extended period of time, it becomes hard. So the Mishnah says that if it's charis, it's going to be possible. If it's not literally like a branch, but it's similar to a branch kosher, then it's going to be kosher. But we need just one word of this braisa. The braisa said, Lulav kafuf kavutz sadok pasul. What's the kasha? The Mishnah said nikdam roishay is pasul. Rav Huna said loishanu elo nikdam. Avol nistak kosher. So if it's nistak, the lulav, it's going to be kosher. Here you see clearly that if it's nistak, it's going to be pasul. So Rav Huna and Amayra seems to be contradicting a braisa, which of course he cannot do. That's the kasha. Amar Papa. So Rav Papa said, the ovid kehimnak. You have to say there's two types of nistak. Rav Huna was talking about one type of nistak. The braisa is talking about another type of nistak. Rav Huna is talking about a nistak where the alim were simply split a little bit. That's going to be kosher. Nikdam roish is a problem. If the roish is there, it's just nistak, that's going to be okay. However, if it's ovid kehimnak, in the event that the leaves are completely set aside from each other, and a himnak, Rashi explains, is shaped like a triangle. So you have the shedra, the spine of the lulav, and then you have its leaves that go off in two completely different directions. So that is just a very awkward type of lulav, and that's the nistak that's going to be possible. So a less traumatic nistak will be kosher. If it's completely spread out like that, that's where it's going to be possible. The Braisa said, akum doima lamagol, that if it's rounded like a sickle, the halach is, it's going to be Possible. That's only true if the akmimos, if this bend is going forward, meaning it's in the opposite direction of the spine of the lulav. But if it's bent backwards, briyasahi, that's normal, and it's going to be kosher. Nachman said, let's stud. What if it's bent to the side? Kilavanav dami, it's as if it's bent to the front, meaning it's going to be a problem. Amidah Sam said, kilachrav dami, it's as if it's bent to the back, meaning it's going to be okay. If Amar Rava, Rava said another halacha, haylu lava the salik bechad hutsa. So this is another case where there's a big shaila in the Rishon on what exactly this means. Rashi explains it's talking about where the lulav has leaves only on one side. So one side of the lulav has leaves. So the halach is, if it has leaves, but it's only bechad hutza on one side, balmumu, it's a balmum, upasol, and it's going to be upasol. So again, we're going through this gemara quickly, a lot of technical different cases. Obviously, if you have a lulav in front of you, b'di'evit, a picture could be helpful, but the bottom line is, we do what we do. So the Mishnah said that what happens if the alim of the lulav were nifritzu, pasol? What if they were nifridu? Kosher, then it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda said that where it's nifridu, yagdeno milmala, you should tie it on top. So the Mishnah discussed two types of lulav, and one that was nifritzu alav, the other one that is nifridu alav. The nifritzu alav is pasul, the nifridu alav is going to be kosher. So what's the difference between nifritzu and nifridu? That's the first gemara. Amar Rabba, Rabba said nifritzu, da avid ki chofya. Nifritzu is where the leaves were completely removed, and the person took the leaves and tied them together with the shedra. Ki chofya. A chufya is a broom. So that's the way people used to make brooms. They would take these palm leaves and they would tie them together. So if someone had to tie it together, why? Because it was completely detached. That's when nifritzu olav is. That's going to be possible. What's nifritzu? The ifrit, ifruti. Where it's attached, however, it's separated a little bit. The halach is where it's nifridu olav, there it's going to be kosher. By Rapapa, Rapapa had a shayla nechluka hatiyoymis mahu. What's the halacha if the tiyoymis of the lulav was nechlak? So the tiyoymis is the very, very middle leaf. That's what the tiyoymis is. Nechluka hatiyoymis is where the leaf split, right? All the leaves of a lulav are really double leaves. You have these two leaves that are tightly next to each other. So what happens if it was nechlak? But here's the punchline. It was nechlak all the way down to the shedra. So the split isn't simply in the leaf, but the split actually touches the spine. So Rapapa wanted to know what would be the halach in that case. So the Gemara says, Tashmat, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yochanan said, name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nitla ha-tiyoymis pasul. If the tiyoymis was removed, it's going to be pasul. Meaning, no tiyoymis is pasul. So the Gemara assumes, my love, what in nechlaka? If when the tiyoymis is removed, it's a problem, then should we assume that if it was nechlak, it's also going to be pasul? Just like if it's not there, it's okay. So maybe if it's a problem, then if it's nechlak also, it's going to be a problem. The Gemara says, no. Could be nitla shani dachasalei. Why is that? What's the logic? If it's not there, you're missing a part of the lulav. If it's there, it's just nechlak. You're not missing anything. It just happens to be split. Ikadamri son said, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Yeshua ben Levi, nechlaka tiyoymis. If the tiyoymis was nechlak, meaning it split, nasa kemisha nitla tiyoymis, it's as if the tiyoymis was removed, upasal, and it's going to be pasal. Rabbi Yehuda said that in the case of nifridu alav, the halach is kosher. However, he said yagdeno milmala. What you should do is you should tie it together. So again, nifritzu alav, which means if the leaves were completely removed from the shedra of the lulav, that's a problem. If they're not removed, they're attached, they just happen to be spread out, kosher. Rabbi Yehuda said, Yagdeno Mamala, you should tie it together. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mishum Rab Tarfin, in the name of Rab Tarfin, that why is it that if it's Nifridu Alav, you have to tie it together? Because when the Torah describes the lulav, the Torah refers to it as a kapais tamarim. We saw this already in yesterday's daf. What does kapais mean? It's from the shirish of kafos. It should be tied together. So the lulav needs to be tied. In the event that it's nifrad, then you tie it together. M'hayu parud, meaning nichtetenu, you should tie it together. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi a question. Now the truth is this next gemara is really a maimer amuskar, meaning we're going to discuss a little bit more about a lulav. So the Torah never uses the word lulav, right? It doesn't say lukachtem lechem b'yom rishon lulav. It says lukachtem lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hadar, and then it says kapis tamarim. We have a messiah that kapis tamarim means the lulav. Now a tamar is a date. Dates grow on palm trees, so we know we're dealing with a palm tree. But at the same time, a lulav is a very specific part of a palm tree. So the question is, how do we know what part of the palm tree is the lulav? Now you'll tell me, Messiah. and Achinami. Halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai, it's the right answer. Torah Shebaal Peh, of course. But at the same time, the Amiraim wanted to know if there's a remez in the word itself, Kapis Tamarim. I mean, the Torah did make an attempt to describe what it is. So presumably in the Torah's description is the specific part of the tree that's meant to be taken. So Ravina and Ravashi, the two authors of the Talmud Bavli, they had this discussion. Amalei Ravina le Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi, Mimai dehai kapis tamarim de lulavahu? How do you know that the kapis tamarim of the Torah is the lulav? Meaning I know the tree, but how do you know it's the lulav? Ema charusa. Maybe it's charusa. So we had charusa earlier. That was in the braisa that was mentioned at the very beginning of the daf. Charusa, as Rashi explained there, is where the lulav remains on the tree for an extended period of time. The shedra becomes hard. The leaves become hard like branches. So the question was that maybe the kapis tamarim is where it became so hard. So he told him back. Ravashi told Ravina, it can't be because be'ina kafos v'lek. Torah used the word kapis tamarim. Kapis is from the lashon of kafos, like Rabbi Yehuda said. You have to be able to tie the whole matzav together. Once it's that hard, you can't tie it together. If you're going to try to tie the branch, it's going to snap. So that's not going to work. So he told him, ve'ima ufsa. Maybe it means ufsa. Ufsa would mean just a branch, or maybe the base of the tree, which has no branches at all. And maybe that's what it means. You could tie it. It has no branches, so what's the big deal? So he told him that can't be, because kafas mechlad ikaparin. The word kafas sounds like it's something that needs to be tied down. As if to say, if you wouldn't tie it, maybe it would be spread out. If what it means is ufsa, ufsa is just a log. So there are no branches to tie. It can't be untied, so it can't be that that's what it means. V'hai kofas v'aymed, meaning, because this is kofas v'aymed l'aylam. This is always in that say. So he told him back, v'ima kofra. Maybe it means charusa, but not where it's so hard to the point where you can't tie it, but maybe where it's just starting to get hard. It's like in this in-between stage, and that's what the term means. Maybe, how do you know it's a lulav? Maybe what it means is it's been on the tree a little bit longer. At that point, it's a little bit harder. It can be tied, and maybe that's what it means. Amar Abayis, Abayis told him, "Derecher darchi noyam, v'chol nesivoy seha shalom." What does this have to do with anything? So this is a very important principle in halacha that we're going to see again, and really, it's something that deserves rate bites, and that is, there's an idea that if the Torah gives a yid a mitzvah to do, it must be, it's darchi noyam, and it's shalom. The Torah does not tell anyone to do something that's cruel and unusual. When the lulav is in that state, where it's kufra, this in-between state, where there's a havamina, maybe that's what the lulav is, if you would hold it, it would be very hard on the hands. Rashi says, ve'ilu asuyin kekoitzin, there's thorns on it, ve'yoitzin bahen uktzin harbe u'mesartin es hayudayim. It would literally hurt you, and it can't be that's what the Torah meant. Amalei rava tosfa de ravino, rava tosfa asked ravino a different question. He said, ve'imatarti kapi, maybe kapis tamarim means two clusters of dates. So he told him back, kapis ksiv. No, it says kapis, chaser, without the vav. So it's a lashon yachid. It can't be two clusters. It can't be two of anything. She said, ve'imachada. Maybe it means one cluster of dates. So he told him, lahu kaf kari. That would have been called kaf. Not kapis. Kapis means something else. Bottom line is, it doesn't say in the Torah exactly what the lulav is. How do we know what the lulav is? So of course we know up in Messiah. But at the same time, Ravina Ravashi understood there must be some remez in the Torah. And they said, just more based on process of elimination, that when we have kapis tamarim, it can't be something that's uncomfortable because there are cherdar chinayim. It can't be the dates itself, just not the right terminology. It can't be a log because kapis has milosh and kafis. It sounds like something that can technically spread apart that you need to tie down. It can't be when it's charis because that's too hard. You can't tie it. So kapis is the big clue, but the bottom line is, at the end of the day, it's, of course, a lulav. The Mishnah continued, again, describing some technical halachis as it relates to a lulav, and it said, Sine hara barzel kisheros. So these were the lulavim that came from hara barzel. So the halach is, these were kosher. So what exactly are Sine hara barzel? So we begin first with a comment that Abaye made on the Mishnah. Amar Abaye said, so it seems that Sine hara barzel, just the physical quality of it, is that it didn't have a lot of alin. Not too many leaves. So So it leaves, for whatever reason, are at a minimum. And that's why we're having this conversation, whether it's kosher or not kosher, because it's unique just in terms of its physical appearance. Abaye said that even though the Mishnah said it's kosher, it's only kosher if at the very least the top of one leaf touches the bottom of the next leaf. So there's some continuum of alin. However, aval ein roish shelzeh magil tzadikar shelzeh pasul, it's going to be pasul. Now, had Abaye know that? The Gemara doesn't say. But this was Abaye's comment that he made to the Mishnah. So the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a Braisa that would seem to support this. Braisa said, Sinei HaRabarzel Psula. That it's Sinei HaRabarzel is possible. The Gemara, how could Sinei HaRabarzel be possible? And not Tan Ksheri, the Mishnah said it's kosher. You have a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ela Shmamino. Okay, Abaye Shmamino. Must be that there's a Sinei HaRabarzel that's kosher, and there's a Sinei HaRabarzel that's possible. So usually when the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hachi, it's like a Mefurish Raya to something that an Amora said. This is not a Mefurish Raya. This is a Tanya Nami Hachi that forces us to say something. And the Gemara feels that Abaye's Sfar is definitely a valid Sfar. Meaning, the Mishnah said Sinei HaRabarzel is kosher. We have a Braisa that says Pasul. Must be this two dinim in Sinei HaRabarzel. There's the Sinei HaRabarzel that's kosher, and there's the Sinei HaRabarzel that's Pasul. Which is kosher, which is Pasul? I don't know. Abaye had a suggestion. So, if Abaye had a suggestion that if it's to the point where the top doesn't touch the bottom, that's when it's a problem. So, kizunt hate, let that be what it is. Abaye just said that Sinei HaRabarzel is not always kosher. And that the Gemara said, Tanya Nami Hachi, because we actually have a braisa that says Sinei HaRabarzel is possible. So clearly there is a Sinei HaRabarzel that's going to be possible. The Gemara says, just another formulation of how this discussion happened. Some say that there was a stira that was asked, Tanah, and Sinei HaRabarzel kosher, but Tanya Psula, and it was to this stira, Amar Abaye, Abaye addressed, like Kasha, Kancha, Reisha, Zeh, Magia, Litzad, Ikar, Shal, Zeh, Kancha, Ein, Reisha, Shal, Zeh, Magia, Litzad, Ikar, Shal, Zeh. So it's the same exact Abaye. And Abaye is for sure supported by a Braisa. Mishnah said Sinei HaRabarzel Kshera. Abaye said not always. Oh, we have a Braisa that supports that. Because we have a Braisa that says Sinei HaRabarzel is possible. What are the two Lashonis of the Gemara? Just Pasha Pshan and the Gemara. What are the two Lashonis? In the first Lishna, Abaye was merely commenting on a Mishnah by himself. The Braisa was brought as support for Abaye's comment. In the second version, Abaye was coming to answer the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But the halacha of the Abaye is the same in the first Lishnah as it is in the second Lishnah. Amar Rav Merion, Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi, V'ami Latani, Rabba Bar Mori, Mishum Rav Yoichanan ben Zakkai. Shtei Tamaris, Yesh Begi ben Hinnom. There are two tamaris, two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinnom. V'oilo Asha mi Beinayim. And if you go there, you'll see smoke rising from between these two palm trees, the Zeu Sheshoninu, and it's regarding those two palm trees that Chazal were referring to when they said Sinei HaRabarzel Kesheros. It's those two trees. Where are they? They're in the valley of Ben Hinnom. And here's the punchline: Vezuhi Pischa Shel Gehenim, and that is the entranceway to Gehenim. So the Gemara Masechtas Eruvin talks about there being entranceways to Gehenim from this world, even though Gehenim is a metaphysical world, but at the same time, there is an idea of there being an entranceway from this world, and the Gemara says it's related to Tzinei HaRabarzel. Zok the Gemara. Lulav Sheyesh Bei Shloisha Tvachim. So again, going now to the last line of the Mishnah, which discussed the shear of a lulav. The Mishnah said that a lulav that has three tvachim, Kedelin Aneyaboy, kosher is going to be kosher. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Huda Mashmol. Rabbi Huda said in the name of Shmol, Shir Hadas V'Arava Shloisha. The shear of the Hadas and the Arava have to be three tefachim. The lulav arba, the lulav has to be four tefachim. So that the lulav will be one tefach taller than the hadas. Not only the hadas, then the arava as well. So the hadas and the arava have to be three tefachim. The lulav, four tefachim, meaning it has to be one tefach taller. Rashi says that why does it have to be a tefach taller? Because the lulav is naturally taller than the hadas and the arava. So if it's naturally taller, it's mistaba that in the lulav, it should be taller as well. But regardless, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the shear of the hadas and the arava is three tefachim, the lulav, four tefachim. Rav Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Parnach said the name Rabbi Yochanan, on shedrei shel lulav tzarich sheyetzem min hadas tefach. It's not enough that the lulav is a tefach taller than the hadas and the arava. You need the shedra, you need the spine of the lulav to be a tefach taller. So what's the machlokes? Shmuel holds that the lulav in its entirety, from floor to ceiling, the lulav has to be four tefachim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not enough that it's four tefachim. You need the shedra to be four tefachim. Any alin that are going to be on top of the Shedra, that has to be whatever. But the Shedra itself has to be four tefachim. So they both agree to this number four. The question is four. What's four? According to Shmuel, the whole lulav four. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Shedra alone has to be four. Zok to Gemara. It's not Shmuel and it's not Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel said four tefachim, the Mishnah says three. Rabbi Yochanan said even the Shedra has to be four tefachim, meaning the lulav is going to be even more than four tefachim. The Mishnah says three. So the Gemara says, no, Ema, the way you have to read the Mishnah is the way we read it when we learned the Mishnah. Meaning, not a lulav sheyesh by shloisha tefachim kidei l'naneya. As if to say the sheyesh is three tefachim, which is kidei l'naneya. It has to be three tefachim plus there has to be an add-on. Additional. How much additional? Market islay, market islay. That's machlokes. According to Shmuel, one more tefach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the shedra has to be one more tefach, and the alam have to be on top of that. Toshma. Bring you a raya from a brisa. Shir hadas va'rova shloisha. The hadas and the rova have to be three tefachim. The lulav arba and the lulav four. My la b'hadi alun. It sounds like the whole lulav arba. So even with the alun, it sounds like Shmuel akasha Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says loy levad mi alun. It means with the exception of the alun gufa. Shir hadas va'rova shloisha. The hadas and the rova have to be three tefachim. The lulav arba, the lulav four tefachim. Again, what does the lulav arba mean? Either the entire lulav, that's Shmuel shita, or it means the Shedra, which is Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rabbi Tarfon, I mean Rabbi Tarfon argues. Rabbi Tarfon said, Ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. It has to be an Ama bas chamisha tefachim. And the Gemara's discussion from here until the Mishnah is going to be trying to understand what Rabbi Tarfon meant. So the Havamina of the Gemara is that Rabbi Tarfon was discussing the Shir of the Hadas and the Arav. So Shir Hadas Varava Shloisha, Rabbi Tarfon, I mean Ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. As if to say it has to be five tefachim. An Ama, which sometimes is made of five tefachim, sometimes six, usually six. But an amma of five tefachim, but again, five tefachim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava heard what Rav Tarfon said, and he said, Sharele mar the Rav Tarfon. The Ebeshah should be Meichel Rav Tarfon. Why? Hashta avay shloishalei mashkechin. We're having a hard enough time finding a hadith that's three tefachim. Bas chamisha mibaya, and he's imposing on us something so challenging to try to find a hadith that's going to be five tefachim. Now, okay, so Rav Tarfon made it hard for Yidden. Sharalei Mare, what's the point? So Rashi says, Dibra Maskul, Ovei Shloish Shalei Meshkachina, at the very, very end, Umatriach Al Yisrael. The Eibishah should be Moichel Rav Tarfon because he's making it hard for Yidden. It's a fascinating idea. You make something hard. It's halacha. This Rav Tarfon held the Hadas should be a taller Hadas. And that's why Rava said the Eibishah should be Moichel Rav Tarfon. But the bottom line is that was Rava's problem with Rav Tarfon. Says, yes, Rav Dimi, Amar, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. See, he reported back what Rav Tarfon really meant. Meaning, Rava thought Rav Tarfon, when he said Ba'amas Bal Chamisha Tvachim, he was talking about the Shir of the Hadas and that Rava. Not three Tvachim, five Tvachim. An Amar that's made up of five Tvachim. So Rav Dimi came and he said, that's not what he meant. He meant something completely different, a little bit confusing. He said what he meant was Amabas Shisha Tvachim as say oisa bas chamisha. What he meant to say was that take an amo, which is usually six tefachim, and convert it into five tefachim. Meaning, the amo is going to be six tefachim, but the tefach is going to be a little bit bigger. So usually a tefach is 1/6 of an amo, bas shisha tefachim. This tefach is going to be 1/5 of an amo, bas shisha tefachim. What's 1/5 of an amma bas shisha tefachim? What's 1/5 of 6? 20% of 6? So it's really 1 1/5. That's what it is. So, and that's where Rav Tarfon was coming to argue. So Rav Tarfon was coming to say that whereas the Chachamim hold that a Hadas and a Rava has to be three tefachim, and the Lulav has to be a fourth tefach, and they were working with regular tefachim. What a regular tefachim? 1/6 of an Amma, because usually an Amma is made up of six tefachim. So Rav Tarfon said, I agree with the share. It's 3 and 4, respectively. That, there's no question that's the share. However, I see the tefachim as being a little bit bigger, because your tefach is 1/6 of an Amma, my tefach is 1/5 of an amma. It's each tefach is 1/5 of a tefach more than yours. Okay, so what's the math? Say mehen shloisha lahadas. Take 3 of those for the hadas. So it's 3 times 1 1/5, which is 3 3/5. Vashar lulav, and then one more of those tefachim are going to end up being used as a lulav. So Rav Tarfon was arguing in the shir of the hadas and the rava. He's arguing with the shir and the lulav. What's the crux of his argument? He holds that you don't use a tefach that's 1/6 of an amma, but rather you use a tefach that's really one fifth of an amma that's made up of six tvachim. But what's the point? The point is, Rava thought that Reb Tarfon's Hadas and Arava was going to be five tvachim. But amma bas chamisha tvachim, that is the size. No, he never said that's the shir. A Hadas is three tvachim. It's not five tvachim, it's three tvachim. It's just a little bit bigger than tvachim. So whereas according to Chachamim, it's three tvachim. According to Reb Tarfon, it's three and three fifths. Because each tefach is one fifth of a tefach bigger. So that's not Sholei Marl or Reb Tarfon. Sholei Marl or Reb Tarfon is if you're jumping from 3 to 5. If you're jumping from 3 to 3 and 3 fifths, on that you don't have to have a Sholei Marl. But the Gemara has a problem. That is Kama Havadu. So according to Reb Tarfon, what's the size of a Hadas and an Arava plus of a Tlasu Chumshi? It's 3 and 3 fifths, right? It's very simple math. The Gemara says, Kasha Dishmol Dishmol. If that's the case, we have a steer in Shmuel. Why? Hacham Rav Yehuda Ma Shmuel Shir Hadas Arava Shloisha. Because what did Rav Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel in the Tapari? Amid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he was the one that opened up this discussion. He says, "Here had this fire of a shloisha." What does shloisha mean? Three tefachim. For Hashem Amar Rav Huna Mashmuel. Rav Huna said in the name of Shmuel, "Halacha k'Rav Tarfon." That halacha is like Rav Tarfon. Now, if the halacha is like Rav Tarfon, it's three and three fifths. So, which one is it? Is it three or is it three and three fifths? So the Gemara says, "Loitak." Which is, of course, shades of Daf Ches. But Loidak, right? Sometimes in the math, we round numbers off. So what's the Loidak over here? The Loidak is that really the number is Reb Tarfon, 3 and 3 fifths. When Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that it's 3 Tvachim, he wasn't being so precise. He didn't mean literally 3. He really meant 3 and 3 fifths. So how big does a lulav have to be? 3 and 3 fifths. What did Shmuel say? 3. Freit to Gemara, the same Kasha it asked on Daf Ches. Emed Amrina Loidak. When do you say Loidak? L'chumra. You can round off a number L'chumra. But how can you use the word like lakula? So the Gemara says, because of this, obviously Rav Dimi's report must have been imprecise. So what does the Gemara do throughout Shas? Rav Dimi comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He says something. The Gemara has a problem with it. And the Gemara then goes to Ravin. Rav had also gone from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came back, Omar, he said, Rav Dimi was almost right. Meaning, Rav Tarfon, when he said, Ba'am bas chamisha tvachim, he wasn't talking about the size of the Hadas and the Arava that has to be five tvachim. Shorele marle Rav Tarfon, like Rav said. He definitely never meant that. What he meant was three tvachim. But he was working with a different type of tefach. What did he mean to say? Am bas chamisha tvachim, asay oiso shisha. What he meant to say was, take an am bas chamisha tvachim and convert it into six tvachim. So, in other words, start off with an amma that's made up of five tvachim, break it into six parts, and it's three of those parts that is the shir of the Hadas and the Arava. If you do that, what's going to come out is that each tefach is going to really be five-sixths of an ordinary tefach. So if you're going to have three of five-sixths of a tefach, it's three times five-sixths, which is 15 over 6, which is 2.5. So you're going to end up with not 3 tvachim, but you're going to end up with 2.5 tvachim. So the Gemara says, let's see it inside. Ravin came, he said, don't take the am of 6 tvachim and divide it into 5. Take the am of 5 tvachim and divide it into 6. So each tefach is not going to be 1 1/5 of a tefach, but rather each tefach is going to be 5/6 of an ordinary tefach. The number is not going to be higher, the number is going to be lower. Not a little bit higher, it's going to be a little bit lower. So how does the math work out? Take the amma that's made of 5 tefachim, the smaller amma, and divide it into 6 parts. So if you divide 5 into 6 parts, each part's going to be 5/6. Take 3 of those parts for the hadas, and another part for the lulav. What are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with 2.5, like we said, because if you take 5/6, you divide it by 3, you're going to end up with 2.5. At the end of the day, you still have a steer in Shmuel, because here Shmuel said 3, and now we have 2.5. The Gemara says, Loidak, Shmuel was Loidak, V'ainu L'chumra Loidak, and that's already L'chumra, that's Loidak, Tam Rafuna Mashmuel. Halacha k'Rav Tarfon. The real halacha is like Rav Tarfon. And Rav Shmuel never said a kula beyond that. He once said a chumra beyond that. He once said that that the halacha is 2.5. He once said 3. But at the end of the day, saying 3 is a chumra. It's not a kula, it's a chumra. If the number is 3 and 3 fifths, and he would say 3, that's a kula. You can't be loidak l'kula. But l'chumra is there. You're allowed to be loidak. The bottom line is that what's the shear of the hadas and the Arava, so the Hadas and the Arava is 3 tvachim, the Lulav is 4 tvachim, but as we saw in the Gemara, a lot of different shitas of exactly what this means. Number one, when we say that the Hadas When we say that the lulav is four, does it mean the entire lulav is four? Even the shedra itself has to be four, which would mean the entire lulav would be even more than that. And usually when you think of tefachim, so you think of a tefach. Am is usually made up of six tefachim. So if you want to know what the tefach is relative to the amma, it's usually 1/6. So that the hadas and the rav is 3/6 of an amma, the lulav is 4/6 of an amma. But as we saw in the Gemara, there was a shitas Rav Tarfon. And Rav Huna Mashmul said that the halach is like Rav Tarfon. So this is not just an abstract shita. This is a halach of a maisa shita as far as shita Shmuel was. Anyways, Shmuel used to paskin like that. Shmuel, the god of Adar in his day, held that halach of a maisa like it was Rav Tarfon. What exactly did Rav Tarfon say? That was a little bit of a confusion. Rava thought one way. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He reported another way. The maskana, the Gemara, worked with what Ravin had said. And that is that Rav Tarfon was working with a smaller tefach. He was working with a tefach that was a little bit smaller, which meant that his three tefachim for the Hadas and the Rava is actually the equivalent to 2.5 tefachim of what would be an ordinary three tefachim. Thus, the Hadas and the Rava together with the lulav won't be four tefachim, but it would be a little bit shorter than that.